It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
I want to go with you in a direction, and let's see if you all can figure out the title this morning. Here it goes. All right. Before anyone says anything, I wanna pick on someone first. Zay, what's the title? Oh, you knew it, man. You weren't even born then. But that's the old one. That's the old mission. You knew that? So everybody agree? Mission Impossible? Well, that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about mission, all about Christ. Mission, all about Christ. How many of you realize that in Mission Impossible, who did the work? Who was involved in the Mission Impossible? Excuse, the ones behind the scene? James. Hey, kid. Can you put a 007 song on here too? What was the old guy's name for Mission Impossible? What was? That's 007. Sean Connery was 007. Peter Graves. And the new one is Tom Cruise. Okay. So Peter Graves and Tom Cruise. Now, I'm sure they had a lot of assistance, right? But primarily, they were doing the work themselves, weren't they? They did it all themselves. For the benefit of those who they were, whoever they were rescuing or trying to do whatever they did. But anyway, but they were doing the work, weren't they? And they had a mission. Were their missions well-planned? Most often, right? I mean, it was a well-planned mission. And so today I just want to talk to you a little bit and out of the book of Isaiah. We want to look at this grand plan that God had. Mission all about Christ. Mission all about Christ. He went on a mission for us. It was a rescue mission. And it was prophesied 700 years prior to it actually happening. So Isaiah prophesied 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ. And I believe that I don't know why it takes so long after prophecy for that to happen, other than it took faith that long to catch up with the prophecy. It took a willing vessel in Mary to be able to conceive that prophecy. It took a lot of things to take place for that prophecy to actually happen. But the beauty of a prophecy is this. When it happens, it lets you know that the person who said it is the truth. That's the beauty of a prophecy. You know, we are encapsulated or all around us are prognosticators. Right? Are prognosticators actually, are they always telling the truth? People who, or what's the other word for it? Our favorite, you know, I mean, if you listen to people like Stephen A. Smith. Now, Stephen A. Smith is right sometimes, but is he right all the time? Are any of those guys right all the time? None of those guys are right. Even the guys who do it with statistics, they're not always right. who look at and say, you know, this is what's going to happen based upon our statistical analysis of the situation. We predict that these things will happen. They're not even right all the time. But this prophecy, 700 years prior to it happening, we believe that it happened. And 500 other people testify to it as well, that were there, that saw him after his resurrection. And so I want to talk about this mission, because in it, it has some wonderful, wonderful truths that we have to grab hold to. So let's turn in our Bibles, and I'll put it all on the screen here. Isaiah chapter 7. So we're just looking back as we go into the season of the birth of Jesus Christ, and looking this at this prophecy by Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So Isaiah, 700 years prior, he prophesies that a woman who would be a virgin would have a child, and they would call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So this is God's grand plan. Just from the start, how many of you think this is not such a good plan? That a woman who was a virgin, who had never been with a man, would have a child. He says, "I'll sign off on this truth of the Messiah or Emmanuel by having a virgin have a child. And that will be my signature, that it is the Messiah." Now, if we go back and we look at the life of Mary, and we find out that she was, unless you want to believe that there's this big old, there was a big lie. If this is not true, then we should turn this place into something else. Maybe a health club, maybe a department store, you know, maybe a furniture store, maybe something, but other than this, because everything hinges on that being true, that a virgin had a child. Now, I don't know if that strikes you all at all, but just think about it for a minute. Think about that one truth right there. Let me just ask, you know, if I may, how many of you ladies had a child and you were still a virgin? I mean, that's the absurdity of believing this prophecy, that a virgin would have a child. But that's a huge signature, isn't it? That a young lady, known in her community, would have a child who was a virgin. And it was easy to believe that, because that was one of the virtues of that time. Culturally, it was a virtue to have not had sex prior to marriage. The culture supported it. And so we are extending our faith out on this truth, that a woman who was a virgin had a child. We are stepping out in faith. Either we're the biggest, most foolish people in the world to believe such a thing as this, or it is the truth. And everything else in the Bible is a truth. And we can extend our faith. Our faith says this: though I didn't see it, though I don't have it in my hands, I believe it because of his word. His word says it, therefore I believe it. How many of us were there? None of us were there. Yet we're believing it. Not only us, but the nations and the world is believing that there was a woman who had a child who was a virgin. And we can't believe God to supply all of our need, and yet we believe that truth? We believe that a woman had a child and she was a virgin, and we can't believe that God will supply all our need, that God can heal our bodies, that God can bring our families together? Yet we believe this truth. Which truth is harder to believe? That God can take care of me right now, or that a woman who was a virgin had a child? You tell me. That's why we are a peculiar people. We're believing something that happened at least 2,700 years ago. The prophecy, that is. And we're all gathered together singing songs and Noel and Silent Night. We three men. Because we are these strange folk who believe that a woman who was a virgin had a baby. Dun, 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 dun. Mission impossible. But we're here, right? We're those foolish folk. But why are we foolish? We're not foolish because we believe it in our hearts, don't we? Because when we came to Christ, something on the inside of us resonated with that story, right? Hopefully. Hopefully we're not just religious. Hopefully we're not just in a rote kind of, I'm doing it because other people did it, because there's a church on every corner in the South in the Bible Belt, and we've been believing this for a long time. Hopefully that's not our reason for believing this. Because if that's our reason for believing this, then we're not unlike any other religion that is out there. That's why it's got to be personal. That's why it's got to be, I believe it on the inside of me. Not on the inside of you, but I believe it on the inside of me. I believe it to be true to me. This is the truth. We had this wonderful production last night. Why do we have that wonderful production? Why did they spend several months of doing this wonderful production if what we've been believing is a lie? And we complicate it, and we perpetuate a lie doing all of this, all of these resources, all of it that took to build this building, the monies, the finances that keeps to sustain it, and we're believing a lie? Shame on us. Put this money in your 401k that you give to this ministry. Put it in something that's going to get you a return, unless you believe that this is the great return. Unless you believe this truth. Unless you believe it to be true. I'm not in it for religion. I hope you're not either. I hope it's real to you, because you are most foolish if you're doing all of this and you really don't believe this in your heart. I mean, you got to be, let me tell you, I got some land for you. I got some property I want to sell you as well. Because it would be so foolish to believe this. It'd be foolish to believe this if it's not true. I believe it to be true. I believe every promise of God is true. And now I need to act like it. Amen? So let's look at some other things, these wonderful truths out of the book of Isaiah. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Every time we go to one of these new passages of scripture, I want you to, in your mind, say, dun, 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 dun. Just say it. And you don't sing it, but just in your mind go, dun, dun. I've been told not to go, and I keep on going over there. So think about it right now. So here's another part of the mission. Listen to this. Verse 1 says, "Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." Amen. Hallelujah. "The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory." Talking about when he was going to rise up. That there's a dark, dank place, and the Messiah is going to come up and going to bring much light. And it says this, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Now, this may be representative of what has happened in your own life. How many of you would say, man, I was living in deep darkness? Like I was in the pit of dark. Like the darkness was so deep that I could cut it. Like literally I could. But then came the light. I was listening to a song the other day and it just rises up. You know, sometimes the old songs, and I think that's the beauty of songs that we sing, even from childhood all the way up, is that they'll come back up in us when we need them. You know, that's why music is so powerful. You may find yourself without a Bible one day, but you got a song in your heart. Encouraging yourself, edifying yourself with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so this song came up in my heart, and I played it afterwards, and I went back in because it was one of the songs I listened to once I first got saved. There was a lady named Helen Baylor, and Helen Baylor sung a song called, "If It Had Not Been for the Lord on My Side, Where Would I Be? Where Would I Be?" And it just kind of rose up in me. I'm sure my wife sometimes says, I don't know when these things rise up in him, but she's going to hear it because I'm going to find it. And the beauty of YouTube, which we know, the Bible says, the wheat and the tares will rise up together, and then there will be a separation of the wheat from the tares. Everything that's in social media is not bad. God created every wavelength out there. Unfortunately, the devil sometimes takes it and uses it for his own interest. So I went back and I said, you know what? And I got Helen Baylor on the phone, on the song. And I said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? I want to know. Where would I be? Come on, let's sing it together. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? Ask yourself that question. If he had not come into the darkness of your life, where would you be? What? How much would you have stumbled? Broke your toe, your foot, your legs. Fell on down a cliff. If it had not been for the Lord that was on your side. Where would you be? Where would your family be? Oh man, I'm so grateful. So he says here, now listen to these wonderful truths. He says, verse 3. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you, excuse me, as people rejoice at the harvest, like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warriors and the uniforms bloodstained by the war will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire, for a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. See, we are currently under two governments. We have the government of this country, which is by man, right? Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. I mean, especially in these latter hours that we're in right now, our government, no matter what side of a political persuasion we are, it's pretty swampy, isn't it? There's a lot to be asked for or in that. So we're living under that government, but our real government is the kingdom. And we have a king. And he's the king of peace. That's why we always subscribe to a higher government. We appeal to our government. Even though we have to be in this world and live by the dictates of the rules and regulations of this world, but when we need something, we appeal to the throne. And we appeal to the throne that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, because I'm in charge if you give me the reins of your life." It also says this. It says, "Come to the throne of grace and receive mercy in your time of need." That's what we appeal to now. That's our government. So let's not get so caught up in this government that we can see, feel, touch. Let's be more aware of that our King is the King of Peace. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. And he's at my disposal anytime. As a matter of fact, he is predisposed towards me. He's leaning in my direction. He's always there to give a helping hand. He's always ready to defend me, to assist me, to advocate for me, to heal me, to set me free. And he's given me the responsibility as his ambassador down here on this earth to be one who is sent to talk about to others about this wonderful kingdom that you can have anytime you want it. Yeah. So if you're one to be, talk about everything that's wrong with the government, your eyes are in the wrong place. It may be, and it is, and it's human. All throughout humanity, humans have been running things not so good. And with little glimpses of them doing it right every now and then. Some things have been very good, but by and large, we're human. And humans can mess up stuff. We got a great balancer. We've got a great neutralizer. We got a great equalizer in our lives. Speaking of equalizer, I went and I watched the movie Equalizer 3. Just want to recommend it to anyone that wants to go and want to see, just some, I'm going to get you, sucker. Somebody just want to... just square things up here with all the evil that's out there, because that's what he's going to do one day. He's going to equalize. So don't be upset about it. Whatever you think is wrong, whatever you think it ain't right, what it shouldn't be, there's going to be a great equalization one day, and we are going to be on the top. Actually, we already are. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So isn't that good news? Amen. So let's go to another scripture. Isaiah chapter 11. All right. Are everybody ready? Dun, 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 dun. Y'all got it in your head? Okay. All right. Isaiah 11 verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." Talking about this Messiah, this one that's coming 700 years later. "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay." That gives us a chance, doesn't it? "He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked." There's been a ruling, there's been a verdict on our behalf already. And that verdict says, not guilty, innocent. We have an advocate. We have one who stands right there. Remember last week we talked about mercy? That mercy triumphs over what? Judgment? Well, the mercy, Jesus is the mercy seat. And he triumphs over all judgment. So no matter what anyone says about you, well, you used to do this, or you are that, and you did this. Guess what? Guess what? Mercy has triumphed. He has ruled on our behalf now. You're not trying to get right anymore. You are right. We are right now. We're not hoping to be right. We're not trying and trying to prove that I'm okay and I should try to get there. If you listen to most people, even Christians, they will say to you, well, I hope I've lived a good enough life. I hope I've done enough good things in my life. I hope that, and many times when we're talking about, especially in a funeral or something, we oftentimes lead out with how good a person is, as though we're trying to argue their case before God. And Jesus would simply say, his case has already been won. Ain't no need of you getting up here and making a whole lot of noise and talking, because I've already rendered a verdict. And the verdict is not guilty. There's been a declaration, a decree that has been made. So when you come out of the courtroom and they're still calling and hurling out accusations against you, you're coming out of a courtroom that just rendered you not guilty. What does it matter anymore what the accusations are? Think about that just for a minute. I was talking to someone just the other day, and I was sharing. The person says, you know what? I don't know why God did this to me. I've been living a good enough life, and I don't understand why this has happened to me, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, you know, I let this person continue talking for a little while, and then I said, let me step in and correct your theology. First of all, the Bible doesn't say that God ever did anything to anyone. The Bible says the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil tried to take you out. The devil tried to ruin your life. You're here today because God didn't let it happen. God is not in the business of destroying life so that he can prove that he is God. He's the God of goodness. Listen to these words. He says he came to render a good and just judgment. So I was telling him, no, it doesn't matter to God how good you've been or how not. He says it's a matter of what you believe about him. But I can tell you this, God didn't do this to you. Just the same way you wouldn't have done it to your own child. Would you have done that to your child? Would you have bloodied your child's nose to teach your child a lesson? Like, I'm just trying to teach him a lesson here. I want to break his leg. No, it's not God. Listen, here's the prophecies about what he is. Listen to what he's saying here. He says that he's going to do just. He's going to seek the right of poor. God is not in the business of messing up our lives so that we can reach out to him. He's constantly, whether we are rich, poor, whatever, he's constantly reaching out to us. Let's move on, okay? I'm going to get through all of these today. Isaiah 53, right? Yeah. No, 42. Isaiah 42, what's your cue? That's your cue. Isaiah 42. Dun, 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 dun. Right? Boy, y'all been hanging out last night, huh? Where you been? All right. Isaiah 42:1. Listen to this. This is so wonderful. This is so, so wonderful. Just to kind of give you an idea, you know, a lot of the things we've learned, even in church, has not necessarily been right. We've made God look like some kind of penal system, some judge, some I'm going to get you, I'm going to come hard on you. And we sometimes can't believe that this was written 700 years about his real nature. Listen to this. The Lord's chosen servant, 42 verse 1 says, Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit. Listen, he said, I put my spirit on him. Now let's just stop right there. What you've read about Jesus in the gospel, did he apart from him moving the people out of the temple, you know, getting them out, have we ever seen him do half the stuff we give God credit for doing? Did you ever see him, anywhere in the Bible, have you seen him put sickness on anyone? Anywhere. Jesus like, okay, leprosy on you, brother, because I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to get you where you need to go. And so if I break you down with some leprosy, then maybe you'll just kind of come to the word. Have you ever, do you see it in Scripture? Nowhere. We don't even know anything about the people that he healed. Not a lot. Very little is said about them, so they could have been living any kind of life. Yet his love, his compassion was extended to them. Listen, I have put my spirit upon him and to bring justice to the nations. Verse 2, he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice and make it heard or make it heard in the streets. A bruised reed. Now, this kind of shows his nature. This verse 2 again. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth and the coastlines wait for his law. Now, this to me is, let me see if I can find something to illustrate it. He says I'm going to have to pull a Dr. Fiagwaji and pull something out of here. Here we go. He says, as fragile as this is, easy to be broken. Look how easy this is. Just that easy. But he said, says a weak reed, like a little plant, will weaken and limp. He says, he'll treat it with such care. He'll just carry it so gently. It's already broken. It's already messed up. It's been through a whole lot. And so we think many times, and we hear it oftentimes, we get into a setting which I want to sometimes just sink into my seat when I hear someone use the gospel to bash people. He says he will not speak with a loud voice. He will not come at people so hard, so mean. But he'll treat everything like this. Just so careful. Just let me protect it. I'm trying to get it somewhere. See, a lot of times people in our lives that are really, really struggling in life, it's not that they haven't given their lives to Christ. It's just that they haven't been able to get out of it. Haven't been able to believe God for a breakthrough in that area. But Jesus says, well, if you're in the gutter, I'll be in the gutter with you. I'll protect you in the gutter. I'll watch over you in the gutter. Because it's not my heart that any would perish, but all would come into eternal life. And I believe that some of us who have been really religious, saved but still religious, are going to get up there and see people that we did not quite think were going to get there. But Jesus was like this. No, I've been covering them. I've been watching out for them. They just, in this lifetime, just couldn't get over the hurdle. Just couldn't get past it. But that's all right. I came for the weak reed. The flickering candle. You know, the flickering candle. if you all could imagine right quickly with me, a candle, and you're trying to get it, a little bitty match. You know, one of those wooden matches, and you strike it, and you try to get it to the candle quick enough so that it doesn't go out. Just think about it. And you're trying to get it from one side of the house to the other. It's the only match you have. Only light you have. How are you going to treat it? You're going to go by a window where a gust of wind could come in? No, you're protecting it. You're watching over it. You're making sure that it gets where it needs to go. A flickering candle. He might not go, you're of no value. And throw you away. No. I've got plenty of other lights out there. I don't need this light. No. He says, I'll protect it. I'll watch over it. I'll keep it. I'll make sure that it gets where it's going. I'm going to watch over it. I'm going to watch over it. That's mission Christ. All those who call, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter where they are, if they're stooped over a bottle of liquor, all those, God coming in their sloppiness and their slushing, God save me. Jesus, save me. If they're strung out on an addiction, whatever that addiction may be, even in right there in the midst of the addiction, all they have just a little bit of insanity, sanity, and in the midst of that, some little flickering light they see off in the distance and they say, Jesus, help me, save me. He says, I'm coming. I'm right there. Let's get to one last scripture. All right, everybody ready? We're going to do it together. Here we go. Dun, 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 dun. Someone's not participating. All right. We're going to do it? All right. Okay. You're a school teacher. You used to be, right? You required that from your teacher. All right, ready? Everybody. Dun, 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 dun. Come on, say. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that right here in just a minute. Here we go. Let's do it again. Dun, 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 dun. Ta-da. Yeah, I did that pretty good. All right, here we go. Last one, and this is so beautiful. This writing is absolutely phenomenal. Listen to this. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in the dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. Think about if you had to carry you all your life. Think about it if you had to carry all of the sins of humanity on your back. All the woes of humanity, you had to carry it yourself. And the way of thinking about it is he said, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. we turn our backs on him. And then he says, yet it was our weaknesses he carried, and it was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. In other words, you betrayed me. You went off with somebody else. And yet while you were out there with somebody else, a different person, a different lover, I came and said, I want you back. I want you back. Yeah, you ran away from you. You tore away from, but I want you back. And anything you got on you, anything you carried, I want to lift it up off of you. Oh, the imagery of that. All of that stuff. Jesus says, I came to lift it up off of you. I came to pick it up and carry it now. You don't have to carry it anymore. I'm going to carry all of that stuff you've been carrying around. All of that guilt, all of that shame, all of that condemnation, all of that stuff that for many years you've been hiding in the closet, but you've been carrying it everywhere. I'm here to take it. That's why this is the good news. That's why it's a rescue mission. That's why we celebrate this season. It's because these prophecies are no longer prophecies anymore. They have come to pass. They've come to pass in our lives, in our hearts. We saw it last night. That's why that message, excuse me, that's why that message was so powerful last night. It was a message. God's always speaking a message. And we saw all of those different stories. We saw all those different stories. Story of the football player who thought his whole life was about his ability to play a sport. Thought his value, his worth was in that. We saw Miss Good back there who thought that her righteousness was in her good works, all that she does. We saw the executive who must have been wearing some fake pearls because they fell off. They were rolling off. So she was. She must have been bankrupt because. But we saw it. We saw the executive who was frantic about business and getting it done. Let me see if I see anybody else who was the rapper. Yeah, we got the rapper here. He must have had a performance last night because he about to sack out in his chair. Did you perform last night? Did you have were you doing something last night? Rap stoke? On the studios all night. Okay, gotcha. Well, we got the rapper. You got the groundskeeper here. And you saw the simplicity. Where's Allie at? Is Allie here? She's not here. But you saw the simplicity of the gospel when this little child came up and just said, Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Just that simplicity. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? Jesus came. He came into my life and he lifted up and continues. When something tries to jump on my back, I still give it to him and he takes it. I don't know where I would be today, but I wouldn't be this version if it had not been for Jesus. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I mean, just take a minute, everyone. Just close your eyes and reflect on his goodness in your life. Father, we thank you that you are what your prophecy says that you are. That you came into this world on a rescue mission to rescue us from ourselves, from the curse of sin, to pull us out of that miry clay, that sinking sand of sin, and to exchange our old sinful nature for a whole new nature that is just like your son Jesus. Thank you for that. We believe your prophecy, and we believe it has come to pass. While heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I've never asked Jesus to come into my life, but I want to receive him today. I want to invite him into my heart. I believe that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I believe that he has a life for me, an abundant life for me. If that's you this morning, all he's asking in a very loving, very quiet, but passionate and forceful way, he's got his arms extended to you, and he's saying, all that will call upon me, I will save. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. It doesn't matter any of those things. None of those things matter. If that's you this morning, if you please raise your hand so I can see it, I'd like to pray for you. All right, not seeing any hands. We're going to pray anyway, because there may be someone out there that's listening and would like for us to pray for them. So let's just pray a prayer and invite Jesus. Renew him in our hearts right now. God in heaven, your word tells me that if I will confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Jesus, come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.